Welcome to the podcast for the table at Central United Methodist Church. Our podcast weaves together a taste of the music that we experience here in worship on Sunday mornings along with the scripture reading and a message. We would love for you to take a next step in growing in faith in our community. If that means you are here in Sacramento, to join us for worship at 9:30 or 11 in the morning at 5265 H Street, or if you're one of the many people who connects with our podcast from around other parts of the state or even the country, we would invite you to take a next step on our website by making a deep commitment to our community of faith or learning more about growing in faith at the table.
Will you call me child when I tell you lies? 'Cause all I know is how to cry. Cause I am a sinner. If it's not one thing, it's another. Caught up in words, tangled in lies. But you are a savior, and you take brokenness aside and make it
just about to take off, that she was the recipient of an unwelcome sexual advance by Harvey Weinstein. And it didn't begin with, this behavior didn't begin with Harvey Weinstein. Really, since forever, men have been using their power to demean and to abuse women. And they would also cast a safety net, a net of protection against legal action and consequences. They would often punish their accusers for speaking out. And in fact, women tell us they would stay silent just to avoid any backlash. But Ashley Judd went against the grain and spread the word about what happened to her. And she went on the record with the New York Times. And finally, the world listened. The Me Too movement began over a decade ago by Tarana Burke. And Burke is a social activist who employed this phrase to build solidarity among young survivors of harassment and assault. When the actress Alyssa Milano saw this, she immediately retweeted this on October 15th, empowering every woman everywhere to speak up about their experiences of sexual assault. And it was a modern breakthrough common decency. In a world where the majority of men are in power and notorious for protecting each other from accusations, women finally were being heard. The fallout of the movement is painful and messy, but necessary. Necessary to create and begin the healing that needs to take place in order for us to move as a society in a more just and burning manner. And as Christians, we are called to respond to this issue and all issues in a way that reflects God's character and follows Jesus' example. In the first chapter of Mark, we find a powerful display of God's work in the world. The text says that John announces his calling to be a voice in the wilderness, and Jesus appears before all of John's fans and haters. And he presents himself to be baptized. And this is one of the many paradoxes of the gospel, because it teaches us that Jesus was the Messiah at birth, yet he got baptized by this lunatic in the wilderness who was causing him trouble. On the one hand, Jesus' divinity sets him apart as the Messiah who ushers in the kingdom of God. But the humanity of Jesus reveals that he's not so different than you and I. While the divinity of Jesus means that he had everything in his life together, he was not ashamed to identify with us who don't always have it all together. And he promised that if we were to come together in his name, that we could change the world. Jesus goes into the water and emerges, and he sets the pattern of baptism for all those who will want to join this movement. And then a voice comes from the heavens and speaks a phrase to him, and I believe that God speaks this phrase to us today, which says that you are my son, you are my daughter, whom I dearly love, and I am well pleased. And while Jesus had a specific path in life, we too could claim that God's love, that we are part of that family of God's love. And Jesus receives this proclamation before he begins any ministry, before he healed anybody, before he fed the multitude, before he did anything. He was loved by God. And this morning, I hope to settle one thing in our hearts, that God loves us. There is no way to add to or to take away from God's love. God isn't obsessing about every little thing that you've done. You don't need to earn God's love by doing good deeds, and you don't need to make sure you do the form and rituals the right way. You don't need to do or become anything to earn or qualify for God's love. God's love precedes you, it follows you, and it envelops you right now. And God's love reaches out to us and claims us before we even have a chance to respond to it. God did not consult a committee for approval. God did not have to wait on a jury to bring back a verdict. God did not have to ask for any references, check your background, or anything to make sure that you receive God's love. You are a child of God, and God loves you. And God's love towards us is infinite beyond the concept of infinity. When we come together in a community like this, we commit to being a channel of that divine love to the world. God loves each of us and all of us in infinite magnitude. And since this is true, we have to stop putting people in lower classes of receiving this love. Unfortunately, we have inherited societal norms that try to put women in a lower state of respect. We see these norms enforced today through unequal pay, limited opportunities for leadership, and most relevantly today, harassment at the workplace. For men to use their power to fulfill this unwelcome sexual tendencies and advances is a statement against the common humanity of women in our society. The Me Too movement has spoken powerfully and clearly. It challenges men in power to respect professional boundaries in the workplace. It challenges institutions to stop covering up such heinous acts to protect profitability. It challenges all to shift the societal norm that accepts such behavior. In the Times magazine, there was recently a cover that honored the Me Too movement as the person of the year. And the authors write that norms evolve, and it's long past time for any culture to view harassment as acceptable. But there's a great deal at stake in how we assess these new boundaries for women and men together. We can and should police criminal acts and discourage inappropriate, destructive behavior. The response to God's love calls us to live in beloved community. And this community speaks truth to power. But it does not merely replicate the most recent political uprising or the trending topic on social media. It introduces something new, something different, as an antidote to this endless cycle of oppression that we see in our society. An antidote that would enlist us to come against these injustices as a beloved community. The term beloved community was first used by philosopher Josiah Royce. And Royce founded the Fellowship of reconciliation. And it was a term that was made most popular by Dr. Martin King. And for King, it meant a society where discrimination and injustice would not be tolerated because human decency would not allow it. It is a community where marginalized voices speak openly and candidly about their experiences of oppression, and those on the outside of this issue do not strive to understand first. Because as a man, there is no way that I can truly understand what it means to be someone who identifies as a woman. But instead, those on the outside, we commit to believing and allowing their voice to drive the policies, the procedures, and the decisions. In this passage, Jesus sets the pattern for baptism for those who desire to be part of this movement. But baptism is not just a religious ritual. It is to set a new pattern of living for those who receive it. We want to be conduits of God's love in real and authentic ways. And we are faithful to do our part in answering Jesus' prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." That's why our baptismal vows ask this question: do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? We need to bring this promise to life in a crucial moment like this. And that's why, as someone who is a Christian and a pastor, I'm particularly disheartened by the Christian evangelicals who have taken to media to be silent or even defend such heinous behavior as we've seen in the past few weeks. It's important that we shed light on this because in their defense of certain individuals who exhibit these bad behaviors, it may seem that they are doing so in the name of Christ, but nothing can be further than the truth. For some Christians, this is largely due to a misinterpretation of grace. Grace is not just the forgiveness of sins or for doing harm, but it is also the freedom and ability to make recompense for the wrongs done, to apologize for wrongdoing, to take time off from our occupation to create a safe environment at the workplace if that's necessary, to reflect thoughtfully on the ways in which people have done harm and commit to not repeating that behavior in the future. It seems like what I just said should be common sense, but ego has entered into this discussion. Whenever we see people get defensive in the face of credible accusations, pride and arrogance eclipse our ability to do the right thing. That is why it is so crucial that we live up, that we in this room, that we live up to our vows that we made at baptism. It is time that those of us who are leaders in various fields ensure that there is gender diversity at every level of the organization. It is time that we support and empower women to create safe spaces for themselves at work and at home. It is time that we hold each other accountable for our actions. For the next 2 weeks, we will be exploring together the faithful response to major issues in our day. Today we talk about the Me Too movement, we move on to toxic masculinity and shame. And this is a timely worship series because the church desperately needs to have an honest dialogue about these issues, our integrity and our witness as a community of followers of Jesus Christ depends on it. And we are going to do so in the context of knowing that we are beloved and that everyone else is beloved, and it is our duty to share that love with everyone else. Our baptisms mean something. God's love reaches out to us and invites us into beloved community. And may we commit to being in this beloved community for the Lord. Amen.
Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide when other helpers fail and comforts flee. Help of the helpless, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power, who like thyself my guide and stay can be. Through cloud and sunshine, Lord, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs, out life's little day, earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away, change and decay. All around I see, O thou who changest not, abide with me.